that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rutland Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The home run ball has bit Chris Sale tonight with three solo homers. And a high fly ball. This one deep to left. Way back it goes. That ball is on top of the shelf. It's gone. That's going to be a two-run homer. So Morales strikes. The home run continues to bite him. Oh, what an odd outing he's had. The strikeouts have been there. But Toronto is hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And they have homered four times.
And this slider here says hit me. Just flat, middle.
I tried to tell you this a week ago, and a lot of you didn't want to hear it. Okay, a lot of you didn't want to hear it. But Chris Sale has been losing it now for a little while, and he hasn't had two good consistent starts in a row since August 13th. If you want to go look it up, you can look it up. And now add this to the list of issues. For the Red Sox entering the postseason, 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters tonight. We're going to start there. We're going to start with Chris Sale and the problems that he has had here over the last month and a half, because they are not small. Again, Sale's ERA over that length of time, 4.3. His one-loss record is 3-4. And so I tried to tell you this a week ago. Hell, at the risk of like sitting here and thumping my own chest and pat myself on the back, I tried to tell you about this months ago. Months ago, when Sale was off to a terrific start in the month of April, and I said, they got to watch this guy. Watch him, because come August and September, he's got a history of fading. And a lot of you tried to give me different explanations and different excuses for why it happened. And I told you that Chris Sale is 6'6". He's 180 pounds soaking wet. And it's a big workload. And if you're going to go into October, you got to be careful with the guy. And then last week in Baltimore, John Farrell sent him out there for the eighth inning in a 9-0 game when Sale had thrown 100 pitches. I think the actual number was 99, but it was somewhere in that area. He had thrown that many pitches, and they sent him out for the eighth inning. He had been on the bench for 21 minutes while they expanded the lead from 6-0 to 9-0. They shouldn't have sent him back out for the eighth so that he could get his stupid 300 strikeout. They should not have sent him out there, and they did. And now, so if you're going to be, maybe you're going to be like Beetle on the midday show. And Beto started giving me grief, saying, oh, do you think it's really about the 12 pitches? You think that's really what put him over the top? No, it's not about the 12 pitches. It's about the cumulative wear and tear of a baseball season on a guy who's not built to throw 235, 240 innings. Let's face it, he's just not built that way. It's not his fault, but this is why you have to manage him. The same way you had to manage Pedro Martinez during his time with the Red Sox. And for that matter, John Lester, who's built to last a hell of a lot more than Chris Sale is, the Red Sox used to do it with Lester. With Lester, you know what the Red Sox used to do? He would pitch his final game of the first half on like Thursday if it fell that way. They would give him the rest of the half off, and then they would give him the first series off in the second half. So that by the time Lester got to the mound again, he'd basically had 10 days off. The Red Sox with Sale pushed him. They leaned on him. His pitch counts went up. There was that game in New York on a Sunday night, if you remember, where he had trouble in the first four innings. It was that four-game series at New York in August. Sale had difficulty in the first four innings. He threw like 85, 90 pitches, and I said right then and there, don't send him out for the fifth. Shut him down. Give him the breather. He's not the same. They sent him out for the fifth. He didn't last long, but they sent him back out there. Then there was the game in Baltimore. And I know it all sounds like revisionist history, but if you listen to this program, you know that I said this last week. I said it when they were in Baltimore while everybody was celebrating the 300 strikeouts. I told you he shouldn't have been on the mound. In fact, he absolutely should not have been on the mound for the eighth. I'd have pulled him after six that night. And if you think I'm making it up, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, take us back in time, please. Should he have really been on the mound last night in the eighth inning? I mean, when you really weigh it out and look at the guy's history, and Sale fading in August, and more importantly, fading in September. And the guy has thrown 99 pitches after seven innings. He's sitting in the dugout for 21 minutes while the Red Sox are going from a 6-0 lead to a 9-0 lead. He needs one strikeout for 300. One. Should he have been on the mound in the eighth? I'm not sure he should have been on the mound in the seventh, let alone the eighth. What the hell was John Farrell doing last night in Baltimore? So again, that was a week ago. Okay, that was a week ago. And the only reason I'm playing that for you is because I don't want you to sit there and think that tonight I'm saying, oh, see? Boy, that was a mistake because I said it at the time. It was apparent at the time. It was obvious at the time. We're going to start there. I want your thoughts on Sale. Add him to the list of issues and concerns for the Red Sox as they go into the postseason. And let me add this to the discussion as well here quickly. And we'll get right to your phone calls. I'm not worried about the division. Yet. But this is a big day. Boy, the Red Sox really took it on the chin last night in multiple ways. They lost. The Yankees won. And then on top of it, Cleveland lost and Houston won. So the gap between Cleveland and Houston right now for the best record in the league is one game. And the Astros kicked the crap out of the Rangers today in Texas. I think the game's over. It was 12-2 the last time I looked. But if Houston passes Cleveland, you're going to get the Indians in the first round if you do win the division. Okay? I think it's a big night in the American League East. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But again, that Sale thing last night, you should have seen it coming. You should have seen it coming. The Red Sox have been heading for this, and it blows me away that they did not manage this better. Because they knew. Believe me when I tell you, they knew. This was basic. They understood the guy's history. They understood the August and September. They understood the wear and tear. And after trading for him, they were playing for October. And they still ran up his pitch totals, his inning count, all of it. They ran it all up a little recklessly down the stretch, and he doesn't look like the same guy now. Julio's in Concord. Julio, what do you got?
Yeah, Maz, I'm glad to hear you mention the issue about the Astros, because I think we've got a unique situation coming up, and you've got the potential of the Red Sox facing the Astros in 11 straight games.
Well, I think it's actually nine. It's nine. The first round's it's a five-game series. Yeah,
right,
go ahead.
So nine straight games. So those last four games, really, there's a lot in there. So I appreciate, you know, a lot of your analysis about the micro situation, about Sale and so forth. But just if you can take a step back and, like, how should they manage the whole series with the Astros with so much at stake?
Okay, so Julio, here's what I'm going to tell you. That I'm not worried about the Astros series yet because, frankly, they might need to win some of those games to win the division. Okay, so let's start there, and then if it changes by Thursday when the series with the Astros start, then we'll adjust our thinking. Tommy's in a car. Tommy, what do you got?
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking my call. Two quick things. One, I'm not going to pretend like I know what John Farrell's thinking, because nobody does, but one, why is Chris Sale even on the mound last night? I know the division is still a little bit of an issue, but the guy needs to rest, like you said it. And two, I know they have a lot of moving pieces with Nunez coming back, Pedroia coming back. Are you of the position that maybe it's time that Hanley sits and you throw Morwin in the lineup? How do you think they balance that going down the line?
Okay, so I'll tell you what, Tommy. I'm going to stick with Sale for now. Okay, I'm going to stick with Sale for now because I think this is what's fresh on everybody's mind, and rightfully so. To me, the Sale issue is number one on the list. He's your guy. He's your guy. He's your stud. He's your franchise. He's your championship. He's all of it. He's the anchor to it all. If Sale all of a sudden vanishes, your chances for the World Series take a major hit. Major hit. Okay? So, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know there, but I look at the whole thing with Sale. He should have made his turn last night. He got an extra day of rest on top of it. It's the fact that he went to the mound is not the issue. It's everything that led up to that. That's what the issue is. You don't want to all of a sudden have him take 2 weeks off and then go into the playoffs not having pitched a game in 2 weeks. You don't want that either. So, but again, this is why you have to manage it. You have to manage the workload during the course of the year. The old cliche, the regular season's a marathon, the postseason's a sprint. With Sale, they didn't put him in a position where it feels like he's going to have a ton left in the tank. I don't know if they can solve it in 8-9 days here or not. I don't know whether they can pull that off, assuming they win the division, and I'm still assuming that. But they had their chances along the way to just give them a little blow here, a little blow there, ease the workload, ease the wear and tear, and they didn't do it. And now all of a sudden you want to be surprised that he gave up four homers in September when history has shown that he fades in September? Are you really going to be surprised by that? They knew this problem was there, and they either ignored it or just did a crap job managing it, which to me falls on the manager.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The fact that there were some pitches that found their way to the middle of the plate, this isn't an overhaul. This isn't, hey, we've got to spend a couple of bullpens here addressing. He had premium stuff that was mislocated a number of times. I'm amazed at how the velocity he's shown right now, to be honest. The last two starts are probably as powerful as he's been all year. One really dominant outing, one not. It comes down to location.
During a regular season in baseball, you can really pace yourself. Obviously, you can really pace yourself, particularly when you're in first place for a good chunk of time. Everybody's chasing you. You know you have a good team. You don't know if it's a great team, but you know it's a good team. Then you get to the end of the year, and things that were avoidable are now starting to rear their heads. And this obviously relates to Sale. What you just heard was John Farrell tonight. That is Farrell tonight. Before tonight's game against the Blue Jays, talking about Sale and saying, you know, the premium stuff. What amazed me is the velocity. That's exactly what Farrell said. And I hear this and I say, oh my God, stop. Stop, please stop. Stop talking. It's not about the velocity. It's not even really about the fastball with Sale. It's about Sale's slider. Okay, that slider is his wipeout pitch. That's what he strikes people out on. He can blow the fastball by, guys, don't get me wrong. But that slider, in tandem with the fastball, is what makes all the difference. And Alex Spear of the Globe touched on this today and said that Sale's velocity on his slider, actually in the month of September, has gone up. It's gone up from 79 and change to almost 81 miles an hour. So you look at that and say, well, then he's not tired, he's fine. And I tell you, no, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. He's tired, he's not as fluid, and he's muscling the ball, and in the process, he's losing movement. He's losing command. This is what happens. Don't get all geeked up when a guy is still throwing 95 in the seventh or eighth inning. It doesn't mean anything. If he can do that and still throw it on a spot, now you're talking. Okay, a lot of guys can give you a little bit extra to maintain that velocity, but once they do that, they lose command and can't quite put it in the same spot. The only analogy I can give you, if you play golf, is that when you swing harder, what happens? It goes crooked. You might still crush it, but it doesn't stay straight because your mechanics get out of whack. Okay, and this is what I think is happening with Sale. He's tired, he's muscling the ball, and he's losing bite on his slider. And it's making all the difference in the world. Again, we'll get to the division through the course of the show, too. But the Red Sox have mismanaged Chris Sale this year. Whether or not it's reversible is open to debate. Typically, you get to this stage and a guy doesn't have a lot left, you got to give him a month off for him to recharge the batteries. I don't know if Sale can do it in a week or not, and maybe he doesn't even have to, because every other start lately has been pretty good. So maybe it's just one good one, one bad one. One good one, one bad one. And his bad ones aren't atrocious. But the Red Sox have put themselves in a spot now where they can't rely on Sale every outing. They can't rely on him every outing like they did earlier in the year. He has not had two good starts in a row since August 13th. It's been 6 weeks, and it's their fault. Alex is in a car. Alex, what do you got?
Yeah, I have the same belief that you said. I think Sale and Pomerantz needed to rest, and both of them have been burnt out. And we're gonna see the results of that. I actually brought this up before. I actually thought that, you know, they should have just shut down both Sale and Pomerantz in September, let them pitch a couple of times, and put David Price in. He hasn't pitched all summer. Let him pitch it. Let him burn himself out.
Okay, so Alex, again, this is where I get off, and I disagree. And when I say that they didn't need to shut these guys down, they just needed to slow them down is what they needed to do, particularly Sale. Now, Pomeranz, also, I don't know, maybe it's not a coincidence. He's right on the cusp of a career high in innings. He went out and got his brains beat in the other night. His velocity is down. So now I don't know if that's as important or not, but I will tell you that the results the other night, Pomeranz gets slapped around, and his fastball velocity is down. Like, that would concern me a little. Okay, that you know, when a guy loses fastball velocity, particularly one that had an elbow issue last year, then I start to wonder a little bit. But even so, I'll give Pomeranz a pass on one bad outing. I want to see what he looks like the next turn out. With Sale now, you've had a pattern. This has been going on for 6 weeks. 40 days. He has not had two good starts in a row. That one's on them. They mismanaged it. Okay, now, it is what it is at this stage. Can you reverse it? I don't know. Right now, he's lined up to pitch Sunday. Let's hope they don't need that game. And then if they do send him out there, I'm even okay with that. Get him out of there after three innings. If it's a meaningless game, get him out of there after four innings, whatever it is. Just let him get the reps in, but don't tax yourself. There is a balance there. You can do both. Dave is in a car. Dave, what do you got?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. They mismanaged them in a couple of ways, and I think they're all related, really. If you remember at the start of the year, he came out gung-ho with a new team and was throwing 98 all over the place. And that was the first spot where they should have told him, hey, chill out a little bit, you know. You don't have to strike everybody out. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And because they didn't do that, he started striking guys out at a record pace to where they couldn't really slow him down in August or July, because then it became about this strikeout record and 300 strikeouts. And they, like, rode him and let him go even harder. And then it came all the way to September where they're, you know, like you said, they're riding them back out for the eighth inning to get this 300 strikeout thing. And the price of that 300 Ks might end up being you lost your horse in October. And really, their whole shot at a World Series was to rely on Sale going off on like a Lester or Bumgarner type run in the playoffs and carrying you there.
Okay, so Dave, I don't think that their whole run was based on that, but he's a big part of it. Okay, he's a big part of what they do. You're not wrong to say that he came out of the gate throwing bullets. Like, off the top of my head, and let me ask you, Jimmy Stewart, Jim Murray, if you remember it. Don't you remember a game in Detroit earlier in the year where I think they sent him out for the ninth inning after he'd given him eight good ones and then he blew up in the ninth?
Yeah.
Do you remember that game?
Yeah.
I think he was winning 1-0. They sent him out there. They had Kimbrel in the bullpen, and Kimbrel wasn't throwing as well at the time as, you know, as he then fell into as the year went along.
It was way early.
Okay, but again, they sent him out for the ninth early in the year, right? Early in the year, they leaned on him right out of the gate. And then as the year went on, they leaned on him and leaned on him and leaned on him. Then you get to the end of the year, you get a game at Yankee Stadium on a Sunday night where he's getting knocked around. He's out there in the fourth inning. He's got 90-some-odd pitches, and you send him out for the fifth? For what? So he can throw five more pitches? Stupid. Then he goes out in this game last week against Baltimore, 299 strikeouts, 99 pitches. Honestly, I didn't think he should have gone out for the seventh in that game. They sent him out there, he struck out the side, and then they sent him back out there in the eighth after he sat for 21 minutes. So if the guy's out of gas now, who do you blame for that?
That's ultimately on the manager.
I don't blame the pitcher for that. It's really stunning to me because Farrell was here in 07. He wasn't here in 04 for Pedro. But he understood how they manage Lester. And even Lester, who is built to last. Lester's a moose. Okay? They gave Lester a break in the middle of the year. And they watched him. It feels to me like they didn't watch Sale.
Well, obviously Sale wanted to get that record, right? With his family in attendance at Camden Yards. And it feels like to me, if you look at other instances, even just last Friday with how he handled Rick Porcello and takes him out after four innings, and they had the lead, and it ultimately ends up pissing off Porcello based on the comments he made after that game. Go back to May, and he goes in on Pomeranz, rightfully, turns his whole season around. It's the best move he'd made all year. He'll go with those two guys, but he won't go with Chris Sale. So it's, is he afraid of him? Is he afraid of pissing him off? Would he potentially lose the player? You know that Sale's a hothead based on some of the antics when he was with the White Sox and cutting up the jerseys, so Is it that, or is it going back to the Ken Rosenthal story when he was on the hot seat earlier in the year? Is that he feels like players, you know, some players feel like they don't have his back, their backs, so he doesn't want to. Maybe he's one of the vocal guys and one of the vocal leaders in that clubhouse, so he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to piss Chris Sale off.
Okay, but then
you have to make that tough decision, though. You have to get him out of that game.
Yeah, either way, Murray, it's on him. Either way,
it is.
It's on
him. Totally is.
One, if you piss him off, you piss him off. He'll get over it.
Yeah, you deal with it.
Okay, he'll get over it. Secondly, you should have a relationship with him by now where you can have the conversation with him and not piss him off.
You'd think.
You'd go to him in the dugout. Francona was good at this. I don't know if Farrell is or not, but just the way he talks suggests to me he doesn't communicate well. But you should be able to go to the pitcher and say, hey, look, you only need one more. You only need one more strikeout. We're at home next week. You're going to get the strikeout. We got to watch you. Okay, I know you feel good, and I love you for it. But we're not sending you back out to the mound tonight.
Part of managing is managing the ego of a player like this and having him learn how to look bigger picture and say, hey, we need you for the playoffs.
Protecting them against themselves,
right.
Murray. Protecting them from themselves. It's part of the job. They whiffed on this. Again, it is what it is now. The pattern is the pattern. He has pitched for him a little poorly here for the last 6 weeks. I don't want to say horrible because every other one has been pretty good. But every other one has also been substandard, and it's their fault. I want to get to the division, and I want to get to the Yankees and what happened at Yankee Stadium last night, and more importantly, what Joe Girardi said about his team and how they view it here going into the final 5 days of the season. Because incredibly, this thing's not over yet. Okay, we'll get to the specifics and all that after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So before we get back to your calls, the Chris Sale thing, the Red Sox know better. They had Pedro. They handled him. They understood that you had to manage the workload on Pedro. They understood that you had to manage the workload on starters in general. Farrell learned this under Francona. Farrell knew it under Francona. He didn't even have to learn it. It's a common thing. It's a standard thing. They've run this guy into the ground. It feels like they've run him into the ground. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that they just give him a little breather here and Sale's fine and no big deal. But I think you get to this stage of the season when they've leaned on him the way they've leaned on that guy, knowing his history. And I think that now it's the only way he's really going to be able to catch his breath is to take an extended period of time off. Okay, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe Sale's just hitting a wall and he'll get through it and get a second win and that'll be the end of it. But in the last 6 weeks, he has not looked like the same guy. Before we get back to the phones, I want to ask Jim Murray and I want to ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer. Very simple question.
All right.
With regard to the American League East, the Red Sox are now up 3 with 5 games to go. Okay, are you worried about the division?
I am not.
Jimmy Stewart, are you?
I'm not, but I'm rooting for them to lose it.
Well, we know that.
Yeah, Jimmy doesn't like the Red Sox. I asked this question last week. Are you rooting for them? Do you find this Red Sox team likable? And Jimmy's been quite consistent for a while now in that he's having a hard time rooting for the Red Sox. To the point where he's rooting against them in hopes they explode into a ball of fire
yep.
in October. Is pretty much what it comes down to.
Playing game on Monday, hopefully.
Now, I'll tell you, with regard to the division, I am not worried yet. But I think this is a big day because, look, they're all big at this stage, but tonight in particular, if the Red Sox win and the Yankees lose, it's 4 with 4 to go. You've clinched a tie. It's over. I mean, really, it's over. All but mathematically. But if it goes the other way, then it's 2 with 4 left, and Houston's coming in here, and you really don't want to have to pitch Sale on Sunday. You really don't want to have to do that. And as it pertains to the division, the Yankees are acting like it's pretty much over. Okay, but the Red Sox keep opening the door and the Yankees keep winning. The Yankees won last night again. 6-1, I think, was the final score last night.
6-1. Watched most of that game.
So Joe Girardi was asked about how the Yankees are approaching this because the Yankees have altered their rotation so that Luis Severino will pitch on Monday in the play-in game. Okay. So it certainly looks like they have given up the division. Girardi says otherwise. Here he is.
We will still play to win this division. And we will, you know, Seve will pitch tomorrow, and then Sonny Gray's going after that, and then Tanaka after that. So we, no, we just felt that it was probably in, you know, in our best interest to do that and to make sure that if we were in the wild card game, that he was prepared and had the right rest.
Okay, so Seve is Severino, and that was Girardi last night. So tomorrow means that Severino is actually pitching tonight at Yankee Stadium. And, Jimmy, they have Tampa. Is that right? Is that Tampa Bay?
Yes,
they're playing,
that's
they're playing Tampa. So Severino goes for the Yankees tonight against the Rays. Now, look, as we saw last night, there were no givens. And Severino, his last outing was not very good. But, I don't know, you know, your ace on the mound, September, you need the win. His last start of the regular season, Red Sox have Porcello going against Marco Estrada, and Jimmy had pointed this out earlier, so Jimmy, why don't you tell everybody what you told me off the air?
This guy has your number, especially this year, and three games started against you. He has a 1.04 ERA, and Red Sox hitters are batting 138.
Okay, so again,
you're pork tonight.
This guy does give him trouble. He gave him trouble a couple of years ago too.
Can't hit the curveball.
So and he's got a great changeup. Yeah, he's got a great changeup.
You never know. Chris Sale was filthy against the Jays going into last night's game,
which is why I just think that this is a big night. Like if it goes the other way and all of a sudden it's two,
hopefully it will.
With four to go, now if you lose three out of four to Houston and the Yankees win three out of four over the weekend, now you're tied. And you have to have a playoff for the division.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I just think it at two, it starts to get tight. I've said this consistently. The difference between two and three, for whatever reason to me, is it feels absolutely huge. Dante's in Linfield. Dante, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, of all the things you can knock Farrell for, I really don't think this Sale thing is one of them.
Why not?
I really don't think any of this is a big deal. From what I saw last night, the stuff is still there. I mean, anybody who's a baseball guy knows when you tense up and try to throw the ball harder, your velocity actually goes down. You know, he might be throwing his slider a little bit harder. Yeah, it'll let you lose break. You know, but that has nothing to do with, you know, your physical ability throwing the ball. The life on the ball is still there. He threw more innings last year. I think we're making way too much of this. The one guy I think you do have to worry about is Pomeranz.
Dante, just quickly, when you say Sale threw more innings last year, how did he finish?
How did he finish last year?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, off the top of my head, I don't really know. But
poorly.
You know
poorly. He finished poorly. This is the point, is that in August and September, the guy fades. And so
well,
in order
I'll tell
to avoid...
What, Naz, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed for you to find somebody who gets better in September.
Okay.
They're all tired. Everybody's tired.
Jimmy, look up. But some guys fade more than others. So you think they all fade the same in September?
I would be hard pressed for you to find a guy who improves in his stats and his numbers in September.
Jim Murray, do me a favor. Would you look up Justin Verlander's career numbers in the month of September, if you would, and let me know. I might be wrong.
Another point: Justin Verlander's only thrown six less innings. Are they overusing him in Houston?
No, but
he's going to pitch again.
Dante, have you ever looked at Justin Verlander and how he's built? His body. Have you ever looked at him?
Effortless motion.
It's got nothing to do with the motion. He's 6'6", 180 pounds. Pedro had an effortless motion. He got tired. So you're telling me nobody gets tired? I just think that this is asinine. Of course guys get tired. Some guys wear down more than others. Typically it's the littler guys or the thinner guys. You're telling me Brock Holt can hold up for a regular season the same way that, take your pick, some big-bodied 240-pounder would?
Like Verlander, who's 6'5 and 230?
It's not even close. Verlander's got 50 pounds on that guy. His body can withstand more. Did you find it, Jimmy?
In his career, 68 starts, Justin Verlander is 37-17 with a 3 ERA in September, October.
Okay, so consistent with his other months, at the very least, I'm guessing.
April, March is a 4 ERA. May is a 3.39 ERA. June is a 3.62 ERA. July is a 3.25 ERA. August is a 3.61 ERA. And September, October is a 3.03 ERA.
So it's his best month.
Yep.
So Justin Verlander gets better late in the year.
Yep.
Huh. Isn't that interesting? And how big is he, Jimmy?
6'5", 225.
See, this is the type of thing where I think fans think you're making it up. I'm not making it up. Why do you think I'm making this up? Because I want to piss you off? That's what you think? Because I want to piss you off. I got better things to do than just want to piss you off for no reason. The playoffs are a week away. It's time. This is what you're geared for. And I'm not telling you you should panic. But I'm telling you, you brought the guy in with the idea of getting to October. You brought him in knowing that his numbers in August and September got worse. And they didn't manage him that way. I don't get that. It makes no sense to me. So now he's fading and you're saying he's fine? The stuff's the same? And who you said, the caller said, when you get tight, the ball, you don't throw at the same velocity. I never said the guy was tight. I never said that Sale was afraid or nervous. I never said any of that. What I said is he's tired. He's tired, which means he has to work harder to get the ball there. And when you work harder to get the ball there, you might lose some of the natural finish. You might lose some of the break. You might lose all of that. And so what's happening now? It's not his fastball. His fastball is not the problem. It's his slider that's hanging up in the middle of the plate. Oh, my gosh. People think that sometimes you're just trying to antagonize all the time. I'm telling you the truth. Angelo's a Methuen.
Anthony, don't get excited. You're going to get agita.
It's all right, Angelo. Go ahead.
I was reading the sports, and they were going by the roster, and it sounded to me like that they're going to put in Hanley to start first and not
Mitch Moreland.
Which is a big mistake.
So you're talking about in the playoffs, Angel, or you're talking about now?
In the playoffs.
Okay, so look, I think Moreland's going to be a significant part of what they do. I don't think they're going to bury Mitch Moreland, and frankly, some of the decisions may end up getting made for him here. Because I don't think Nunez is going to be able to play. I want to see what Pedroia looks like, but we looked it up last night. Since he came back, or let me rephrase, since he went on the disabled list at the end of July, Pedroia's hitting .230. He hasn't been the same player in 2 months. And look, I'm not telling you the world's coming to an end. I'm just telling you that all of a sudden some issues have piled up on them. Sale looks fatigued. Pomeranz is approaching a career high for innings, and he had a bad game the other night. Nunez is hurt. Pedroia hasn't been right for 2 months. Betts has some sort of wrist issue that sounds like it's been going on for a while, and the Red Sox have covered it up. So now look, if everyone gets their rest, they wrap this thing up in the next couple of days, could they be ready to go and be full bore next Thursday? Of course. Yes. But I'm telling you that these issues piling up on them, and Sale in particular, I'm sorry, Sale was mishandled. They mishandled Sale during the year. There were a handful of opportunities at least where they could have pulled him out of a game, given him a little blow, knocked off 15 pitches. There were a number of occasions where they could have done that. This isn't just about the Baltimore game last week. The Yankee game on Sunday night at the end of that four-game series, they should have pulled him after four. They sent him back out for the fifth. So these mistakes added up. And now all of a sudden you have an ace who looks tired. I hope he can recharge in a week. I hope. History tells me no, but again, that doesn't mean anything. What's happened in the past is gone. I'm worried about what's coming up. And if you go by the pattern, Sale's next outing should be good. Whenever that is.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.